I praise the Lord, folks. As we come to our final hymn this morning, praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, I'm grateful to have Mike back home. He was gone for like 3 days for all the power outages.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mike, for helping.
Mike, are they all back on? Unitil?
Yeah.
I know PS&H still has probably...
No, they only got a little 1,000 out now.
That's it? Wow. Wow, excellent. They called in 500 extra crew workers to come in to help the, I think there was 300 or 400 existing.
Well, they're coming down from Canada, Tulsa.
Yeah.
Trucks from
Canada. Oh, Canada, Massachusetts, even,
from all over the country.
From all over. So, got to give them credit. You know, they got things back up and running. Praise the Lord for that. All right, folks, for our final hymn prior to the message this morning, open up to hymn 88. One of my favorite all-time hymns of the faith, because one day we shall gather at the river above. Amen? Let's stand for our final hymn. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Praise the Lord.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angels vapor fraught, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful by the throne of God. When we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown. Oh yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage shall cease, soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Oh yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful
to God. Folks, please be seated this morning and grab your Bibles at this time and open up to the book of Ephesians this morning. What a time I had this week in preparation for our Sunday morning message. Ephesians chapter number 3. And folks, I tell you, it is just so good to know Jesus Christ and to be one of his sheep. What a great shepherd we have. And especially the way things are going in the world today. Oh man, where would we be without the Lord? I don't know how folks get by without him. I really don't.
That's
a single day. Oh my, yes, it's at an all-time high. But here in the third chapter of Ephesians, I want to speak to you this morning on my favorite topic. My favorite topic of all. You'll see quickly why. Look with me here in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is preaching to the believers at Ephesus from a Roman dungeon, the Mamertine prison. He's under incarceration by Nero. He tells the Ephesians that he is praying for them. He's making intercession, petitioning the throne of God for them. Amen? He's not thinking about himself. He's praying for the believers at Ephesus, okay? But look what he prays for them. In verse number 14, we'll begin reading in verse 14. This is one of those incredible six-verse sentences of the Bible. There are some that are much, much longer, folks. It's called a progression, where there's no periods in between these verses. It's a strain of thought that the Holy Spirit is flowing through the apostle. Look with me here in Ephesians and chapter 3. I'll get there. And verse number 14. Glory to God. We read in verse 14. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word, beloved. Ephesians 3:14. Paul says, now he's just gotten through telling them that God had called him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the world, to make him known. Amen? We've got to make Jesus known, folks. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me repeat that. Paul prays that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Beloved, I want to preach a message I've entitled, Being Filled with God. Being filled with God. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for these amazing verses of Scripture. Lord, how we thank you for the apostles' prayer for the believers at Ephesus, that they would be absolutely filled to overflowing with God. Lord, I'm thankful this morning that there's no greater way to live than to be filled with God. To be absolutely empowered and absolutely filled to the brim with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I'm so thankful that this offer of being filled with God is available to all peoples of all nations. And I'm so glad, Lord, that we have tasted and seen that you are good. And Lord, that this is the greatest thing a human being can achieve, to be filled with God in his or her life. We ask you to bless your word and give us understanding, Holy Spirit, that we might leave this place today more filled with you, Lord God, that we might be more in tune with your spirit, and Lord, that we would understand who it is that is in us that is greater than he that is in the world. And Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Glory to God, beloved. At the first glance, this incredible prayer of Paul would seem to be impossible to achieve. But remember, this is Holy Scripture we're reading, the Word of God. And once a believer comes to the realization that this fullness of God in you is actually God's will for your life, listen, it's his will for every one of his children, then may he or she pursue it joyfully above all else. Listen, folks, it doesn't happen by accident. Pastor can't twist your arm. Your mama can't make you do it. It's something that you have to desire from within by an act of your free will. So, brethren, let us look this morning at this petition of Paul's with the desire of obtaining it in our lives. Listen, it's precious. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's the greatest thing I can preach to you, to be filled with his Spirit. Three considerations demand our attention from our text. I'll use verse 19 today. Three things we must consider. First, consider the significance of this petition. In verse 19, look at it. Paul says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with, what's the next word?
All
the fullness of God. Oh, not just a little dabble, do you? Not just a little bitty portion, but all the fullness of God. He says, I want you to have it all. Amen? I want you to be so full of God. You ever hear somebody say, oh, you're just, that's ad-libbing, you know, the world. Oh, you're full of crap. You're full of crap. Anybody say to you, you're so full of God? That'd be good, amen? You're so full of God. Oh, I love it. We need to be full of God, folks. And we can be. I'm so glad this morning that we can be. Listen carefully, beloved. Because I hope you're sitting down. Listen. What exactly is the fullness of God? What is it? What is Paul asking the Father to grant to the Ephesian believers? Listen, the fullness of God is an old English phrase which denotes the whole sum and total of all the energies, powers, and attributes of the divine nature. The complete Godhead in all its plenitude and abundance. It's what God is. It's what God is. He says, I want you to be filled with what He is. Amen? John put it this way in John chapter 4, down around verse 21. He said that as He is, so are we in this present life. Amen? As He is, that's how I want to be. That's how I want to be. I want to be like Jesus. I'm so unlike Him so often. But I want to be more like Him. I want to be more filled with Him. Amen? Listen. Webster defines fullness as completeness, the state of a thing in which nothing is lacking. Perfection. That's what God is. Nothing is lacking in God. And He wants that part of God to be in you, that you'll have nothing lacking. You'll be totally satisfied in your life. You'll be totally joyful and at peace with God and your fellow man. Why? Because God is in you. Amen? And He's filling you every area of your life, not just Sunday morning. Psalm 16:11. It says, in Thy presence, O Lord, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. You know, in the presence of Jesus, all of our trials and problems and little, you know, idiosyncrasies, all these things we endure, they just melt away in the Lord's presence. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you get in this book, and this book gets in you, and you get on your knees, and you petition your Father, a holy, heavenly peace just envelops you. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Lord filling you with His presence. Go to John chapter 1. Hold your place in Ephesians. Coming right back. In John chapter 1, I'm so glad that you and I can be full of God. I don't want to be full of anything but God. Amen? That's the only thing worth being full of. Look at here in John chapter 1. And look with me at verse 15. I love this. John chapter 1, verse 15. John, the apostle, not the Baptist, writes in verse 15, John bear witness of Him. This is John the apostle speaking of John the Baptist. And cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His what?
Fullness.
Ooh. Of His fullness have all we, believers, received. And grace for grace. John says, listen, if you have believed on Jesus Christ, you have received Him as your Savior, you've already received of His fullness. Do you realize that when you were born again, when you received the Spirit of God by regeneration, you received of the fullness of Christ Jesus within your soul? He's in you. I love that. We have received of His fullness freely. It's a gift. Oh, how great is this? Go to Ephesians. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll see it again. Look in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 22. Speaking of Jesus Christ, He hath put all things under His feet. That'll give you some peace, knowing that all things are under Jesus' feet. Amen? And gave Him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Notice here in verse 23 that this fullness that is in you, it's in all of you. All of you who are saved, it's in you. It's a done deal. It's already done. You just have to realize it. You just have to come to the understanding that you are already received of His fullness. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, oh, I like that word, all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul says, you know what? The standing ministry that we have in our churches today is for a purpose. It's to bring the saints, starting with the preacher, to the fullness. Look at it. Verse 13. Unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's his desire. And he says, for all of us. Oh boy. This is such good stuff this morning. Historians tell us that in the 15th century, during the invasion of Scotland, there was a great castle that was besieged by the enemy for 3 straight months. The invaders, thinking that the men in the castle must be near the point of starvation, which was their plan, sent a message demanding they surrender or die of malnutrition. In reply, a great string of fresh fish was hung over the wall. A subterranean passage to the sea had enabled them to obtain a boundless supply of fish. They said, we got all the food we need, buddy. You can stay out there all you want. Folks, that's how we are in Jesus Christ. We've got everything we need. We don't need the enemies of God, right? We have everything we need because we have Jesus Christ, an endless supply of his fullness. Oh, that's so good. Something else, though, this morning, considering the significance of this petition. Secondly, I want us to consider the possibility of accomplishing this petition. The possibility of accomplishing it. Back to chapter 3 of Ephesians. Look with me at verse 19 again. Paul says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might, what's that next word?
Be filled
with all the fullness of God. He says, ye might be. Ye can be. It's available. Folks, I want us to consider the possibility of accomplishing this petition. Most people would have to take a pair of scissors and cut this verse out of the Bible because they don't believe it. There are many Christians who don't believe that one can be filled with the fullness of God to overflowing. But you know what? Paul said, if any man love God, the same is known of him. If you love him and you're full of his spirit, folks are going to know it in your life. You say, that gal is full of God. It's obvious, surely. We must admit that no wish can go beyond this one. But God says what he means, and he means what he says. When he says he wants you to be filled with his fullness, he means it. He means you can be, but you have to desire it. It doesn't happen for all Christians. I didn't say you're not saved. You are saved. You are on your way to heaven. But this fullness that he speaks of is only for those who seek it. Only for those who desire it. And surely, beloved, the chief apostle would not pray these words if it were not possible to be accomplished. Amen? God would not ask you to do something that is impossible for you to do. Now, I see two objections that people make concerning this possibility of being filled with the fullness of God. First, some will say, can the finite contain the infinite? How can a mortal, fleshly, weak, and dying man contain the immortal, invisible, almighty, ever-living God? How? How is that possible? The answer is this. Yes, it is possible if we're talking about two hearts that love one another, God's and yours. Do you know what happens when a man and woman get married and they take vows before God? The Bible says they become one flesh. One. That means my wife is part of me. She is a vital part of me because this week I'm a mess. She was gone and I, oh man, lost without her. You know? Why? Because she's part of me. Like half of me is not there. Look with me in, go with me to 1 Corinthians. I want you to see this. In 1 Corinthians, go with me to chapter 6. How is it possible for you to be filled with the fullness of God? First of all, you have to be joined to God. Amen? Not all people are joined to him. Look at this. Paul is speaking to Christians born again. And he says to them this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Question. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. Now he's talking about bonds of matrimony between a man and a woman. Not between a man and a man. Verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One spirit.
Ooh. I don't know about you, but I like this. Are you joined to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're saved, you are. And it says there that you have entered into a special relationship with him, where you two have become one. I didn't make that up. Look at verse 17. One spirit. You are one in Jesus Christ. You are joined to him in an everlasting bond of holy matrimony. That's why we're called the bride of Christ. Amen? The Lamb's wife. Oh, just like my wife and I are one flesh, me and Jesus are one spirit. Yeah. That's what he says in verse 17. Oh, this is deep this morning, folks. Someone say, can the finite contain the infinite? Yes. If two hearts are in love and joined together. Secondly, another objection. Some will say, how is it possible in our imperfections and sinful propensities that this petition could ever be realized? Listen, it's because God, who knows best, will never give us a command that we cannot fulfill. Luke chapter 1. Hold your place in Ephesians. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. You've got to get beyond the scope of your own understanding, because we are talking about a supernatural, miracle-working God who can do anything. Amen? Look at it. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 36. Powerful passage here. Verse 36. This is the angel, Gabriel, the messenger angel, speaking to Mary. He says in verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, John Baptist. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, notice here in verse 38 that Mary simply believed what God said and said, be it unto me according to thy word. Folks, I want you to look to God today and say, be it unto me according to your word in Ephesians 3:19. Be it unto me to be filled with the fullness of God. Be it unto me to be overflowing with God in every area of my life. Why? Because all things are possible with God. Oh, glory. In April of 1947, Ford Motor Company offered a brand new 1947 pickup truck, fully loaded, to any person in America who could come up with a 1943 copper penny. Millions of respondents showed up at dealerships all across America until it was announced that of the 1,293,838,673 pennies that were minted in 1943, where not even one was made of copper. Steel zinc was used because of the war. There was a shortage on copper. So it was an impossibility to win that pickup truck. But folks, I'm so glad that it is not impossible to do what God says. When he says you can be filled with his fullness, he means it. It's not an impossible command. I'm so glad of that. All right, folks, we've seen that the significance of this petition is absolutely incredible. We've seen the possibility of accomplishing it. But finally, this morning, let us consider the means by which it may be fulfilled. How do you do it? Look with me in verse 19. Look at this, and don't miss this. How can this be accomplished? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able. Oh, did you catch that in verse 20? You're not able, but somebody else is. to fulfill this petition for you. Look at it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Folks, listen to me very carefully. God is able to grant you this request. If you desire to be so full of Jesus Christ in your life that folks are going to know it, that your life is going to be different, that you are going to be just overflowing with God in every area of your life, just flowing out and like a river of living waters flowing through your belly for your innermost being. That's what God wants for you. And if you want it, you can have it. You can obtain it. I see three ways that we must obtain it. First, there must be, listen carefully, beloved. First, there must be an emptying of self. If there is to be a filling with God, there first has to be an emptying, thank you, of self. Amen? Now, look here. We have to empty ourselves in that faith which forsakes self-dependency, self-confidence, self-righteousness, self-pleasing, and yields itself wholly to the dear Lord Jesus. In other words, you have to come to the point in your life where getting filled with God means more to you than your own desires and needs and wants. You have to want it that bad that you want him above your own personal preferences. Look with me in, go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, rather. Chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Here is an incredible passage. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, Paul is speaking to Christians, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They have no contact with the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, that means they have a seared conscience, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That word means basically anything goes. And that's the world we live in today. To work all uncleanness, that's sexual immorality, with greediness. See, they're greedy for more and more sin. But, 20, ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, look at it, 22, put off concerning the former conversation, your old lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. See, there's something we have to put off if we want to put on the new man. Look at it, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It begins in the mind, and that it affects the whole life. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, but true holiness. He's saying, listen, he's saying there's certain things you have to put off from your life, and there's certain things you need to put on. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, down around verse 21, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we need to put on. But before we can put them on, we've got to put off those things that don't belong in our lives. Amen? If we want to be filled with God, we will be willing to do that, child of God. If we will be willing to put those things off that displease our Father in order for him to fill us with his glory. But there's something else. First, there needs to be an emptying of self. Second, there must be the conscious experience of the unfathomable love which is in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17 of chapter 3. Look at it. Verse 17. Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Oh, wow. Watch it. It's going to get good. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Whose love?
God's love.
verse 17, Jesus Christ, right? May be able to comprehend, is something you need to understand, with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height of something. What is that something? Verse 19, to know the love of Christ. Oh, I hope somebody's listening this morning. If you want to be filled with the fullness of God, you have to know the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ, listen to me, it's unconditional. He loves you because he loves you, not because you're good or bad. You have to understand that he loves you eternally. And once you come to understand this incredible, immeasurable love of Jesus Christ, you'll be in a position, verse 19, to be filled with all the fullness of God. You see the progression? From verse 18 to verse 19, it has to do with understanding Jesus' love. You're being filled with him. You have to understand his love. Now, the love of Christ, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, down around verse 17, constraineth us. You know what it means to constrain someone? It means it compel them. That love compels you. You know why you're in church this morning? Because the love of Christ constrains you to be here. Nobody called you and said, you better be here at such time. No, it's an act of the will because you love him and you know he loves you. Amen? That's why you're here. And listen, this is a conscious experience of the unfathomable love which is in Jesus Christ. It's glorious. Absolutely. Look at chapter 2 of Ephesians. Look at verse 4. Just thought of another verse. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great what?
Love.
Love. Wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he loved us. Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here is your position, child of God. Your eternal position is in Christ Jesus. That's why you're going to heaven. Not because you go to church. Not because you got baptized. Not because you tithe. You're going to church because you are in Christ Jesus. Look at it. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. He says he loved you so much that he put you into his son's body positionally. Wow! You've got to understand that in order to be filled with his fullness. Thirdly, there are three things. First, we must be emptied of self. Second, we must consciously experience his love. Thirdly, we must be having the divine empowerment of his Holy Spirit. Look at verse 14 of chapter 3. Verse 14. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his what?
Spirit.
Spirit in the inner man. By his Spirit. Beloved, we're talking about being filled with the fullness of God this morning. And in order for any of us to be filled with the fullness of God, we must first be filled with the Spirit of God in our inner man. This is the conduit. This is the instrumentality. This is the key to being filled with God, his Holy Spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians. Just about done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, it's so good to be filled with him. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 3, look at verse 17. Who is the Holy Spirit, by the way? Think. Verse 17 tells us who he is. Now the Lord is that Spirit. He's the Lord. The Holy Spirit's the Lord. Amen? And where the Spirit of the Lord is... Time out, church. Where's the Spirit of the Lord right now? Where is he? Is he in the world? I mean, he's omnipresent, yeah. But positionally, he's in you. And you and you and you. Because you've been born of the Spirit. He's in you, right? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, church. I thought when you looked in the mirror, you saw a reflection of yourself. Whoa, hold on. He says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. When you look in the mirror, guess who's looking back at you? The glory, I'm not making this up, church, look at it. The glory of the Lord is in that mirror because he's in you. Are changed into the same image from glory, his glory, to glory, his glory in you. See it? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says, you can accomplish this fullness of God by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad this morning that it is possible to be filled with all the fullness of God. Long ago, there were two kings. Two kings who were the best of friends. They both had little boys. And as they were both very busy defending their countries against invaders, they were not able to see each other for some 20 years. And when finally King Gregory visited King James, he met his son, who was now a full-grown man. After spending an entire day with the prince, King Gregory said to him these words, and I quote, "Young man, you are so full of your father, I think that I'm talking to him." You know what, folks? God wants for you, when someone sees you and talks to you, to say, "You know what? You are so full of God, I think I'm talking to him." And you can be. You can be. Glory to God. Because he wants you to be filled with all of his fullness. Do you know what God wants more than anything else?
He wants my tithes. He wants me to be baptized.
No. That stuff's important, but that's not what he wants. He wants you to be filled with him in your everyday life. Not just on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night. Every day. At work in the God Shack, we call it the God Shack, you know, because God is there, the God Shack. Wherever you go, whatever you do, God wants to be with you, and he wants to be filling you, taking care of every need, which only he can. Glory to God. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for all the fullness of God that is available to every one of us. Lord, I'm so grateful this morning that you are not limited in your ability to fill us up. Lord, when we go to the gas station, we want to fill up our gas tank so we won't run out of gas. What a spiritual picture that is. We need to be filled up with Jesus Christ so we don't run out of spiritual gas. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can be. And we can be every day filled with all the fullness of God. I thank you, Lord, that this is your desire for every one of your children. And my prayer this morning, Lord, is that you would fulfill that petition for every single member here and those who are visiting of King James Bible Baptist Church, that we all would be filled with the fullness of God, that people who see us would say, "There's something different about those people." It's God filling us, using us for his honor and glory. And Lord, what is the purpose for our being filled with you? Not for bragging rights, not for boasting, not for pride. Nay, it is for us to glorify the Son of God in our lives. Period. That is the reason you want us to be filled up with your fullness. That we might glorify Jesus Christ by your Spirit in our lives. Thank you for it this morning, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's stand. And let's close with a hymn of invitation this morning. Let's open up to hymn number 126. We'll close with 126. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. I'm so glad this morning that there is a fount. William Cowper wrote. And let's go to the first, the third, and the fourth. sing it to the Lord. Yes, indeed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Fill us, Lord.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, loosing guilty stains, loosing guilty stains, loose all the guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath.
Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you this morning for the fullness of God that you've made available to each and every one of us. Lord, thank you for the accompanying peace and joy and glory that attends that fullness. Thank you, Lord, that there is no greater place to be for a human being than in the place of the fullness of God. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would bless our hearts with every head bowed and every eye closed. You might say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be more filled with him. So, you know, it says there in Galatians chapter 5, down around verse 27, the fruits of the Spirit. It says there's no law against such. It means you can't get too much of the Spirit of God, the fruits of the Spirit. By an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want more. I want more. I want to be more filled. I want folks to know I see that hand. I see that hand. And I see that hand. I see that hand and I see that hand. All hands are up. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for these uplifted hands. And thank you for the true desires of our hearts, desiring to be filled with Jesus Christ like never before. Why? Because, Lord, these last days of the last days are evil and dark and gloomy and wicked. And we need to be closer to you than we have ever been. And we can be. And we will be. Because you're answering these uplifted hands, these petitions right now, filling us to overflowing with the fullness of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad you said, Lord, that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. And we are positionally in Christ Jesus. That means it's available to us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for filling us up this morning. And Lord, because you are filling us to overflowing with your fullness, you will use us for your honor and glory. You will use us to win boys and girls to Jesus Christ. You will use us to win adults. You will use us to spread the good news that Jesus saves before it's too late. We thank you for that. And thank you ultimately that Jesus will be glorified thereby. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. On the fourth, beloved.
I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds of blood. Redeeming love has paid my theme, and it shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. One announcement I forgot to make. Next Sunday evening, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table together. What a blessing that will be. So tell someone, next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Brother Kyle, if you could dismiss us in prayer. And we're so thankful that Brianna got to have church with us.
Yes.
What a blessing that young gal is. We love her. And hope to see you tonight at 6.
Lord, we thank you once again that we can gather in your presence, Lord, to hear your word, to have your word brought to us. Thank you, Lord, for the preacher you've given us and the blessing you've placed on him to bring us exactly the word you'd have us to hear. We pray, Lord, you'd instill this deeply within our hearts and our minds to help us, Lord, to understand what it is you have for us and want for us. And continue to minister to us as we go on from here to our homes, Lord. Bring us safely back this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.